Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Don't forget our web question for today. Should the Obama stimulus bill be put online for 1 week before a vote, as the Republicans are demanding? We're getting a lot of interesting comments on this at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, including people who say everything should be put online for a week before Congress votes on it. Why are we just talking about the Obama stimulus bill just because it's $1 trillion? So go to WNYC.org, add your comment, click on Brian Lehrer Show for the question, should the Obama stimulus bill be put online for 1 week before a vote in Congress, as the Republicans are demanding? So the holidays are over. You're back to the grind. Parents all over town are breathing a sigh of relief as children go back to school. But the recession has fully sunken in, and frugality is on many people's minds. So now some are calling this a frugality movement, and its most active members are blogging online to help you scrimp your way through the recession, but also talking about why they see it as a movement. Some of these sites help you not only creatively cut down on your expenses, they also aim to make scrimping seem not just necessary, but normal. Farhad Manju, Slate's technology columnist and the author of True Enough, Learning to Live in a Post-Fact Society, joins us now to talk about the frugality movement online and how they're using life hacker lessons, as they're known, to create a new American money culture. Hey, Farhad, welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, thanks. Nice to be here.
You started poking around online, and you found a lot of these frugality sites. And in your recent Slate article, you call it a frugality movement. What do you think makes just saving money when times are tough a movement?
Yeah, because I think these people, I mean, I think a lot of people probably are doing this out of necessity, and maybe it's short term. But I sense something deeper in how these people are writing about saving money, and it seems that many are pushing kind of a total change in their lifestyle. They're talking about kind of being addicted to debt and to spending, and now they're trying to kind of change how they live. And in a larger sense, many of them are advocating that Americans generally change how we all live. They're, you know, advocating that people think about the ramifications of consumption and buying stuff and going into debt. Basically, the kind of sage common sense advice that we all kind of knew in the back of our minds was what we should be doing, but people haven't been doing.
I think there's really a conflict in the American psyche now about what's the right thing to do, what's the moral thing to do, ethical thing to do, what's the patriotic thing to do. So these sites that you've been cruising, like Wise Bread or Frugal Dad, Frugal Village is another one. They're really more than tip sites. They're about simplicity as a lifestyle. So that's one tug on an ethical way to live. The other tug is if we spend less, the economy will stay in recession and more people will be out of work.
Yeah, I agree. There's that tension, and you notice it on these sites. And many of these sites are sort of they're very they push hard against that argument that we should sort of spend our way out of this recession. I mean, I think they call that kind of just deepening the problem. You know, they argue that if we kind of get back to reading these sites is sort of very much like reading kind of a religious movement. You know, I compared it in the article to the Amish, because they're not sort of they're aware of the consequences of, you know, everyone stopping reducing their spending, but they think that there's kind of a moral imperative that we do that. On the other hand, I don't want to make them sound completely self-serious, because they do have very practical tips that even if you don't kind of buy into the whole argument, you can you know, benefit from these very practical tips about how to spend less money.
You got a favorite or two?
I liked the one. Apparently, it's very easy to fix or replace your brakes on your car, much easier than I thought it would be. I didn't try it, but there's lots of videos on the internet where these people show you how to do it, and you can save $600-$700 doing this by yourself. Apparently, it's, you know, you could do it in an afternoon. other things they talk about, avoid visiting stores unless you have something specific to buy. Don't just sort of go to the mall just to spend time there, because you'll end up buying stuff that you don't really need. I think that the main argument that they put forward is that people should sort of be conscious about their consumption. So you should think about all of the things you're spending on every month and really consider whether that's a good idea. So, you know, for example, many Americans spend more than $1,000 a year on cable TV. And I think lots of people do it kind of, you know, blindly, because you think, you know, cable is a necessity that you need. That's fine if you do, but these people advocate that, you know, you kind of think about it first, decide whether $800 or $900 a year is, whether cable is worth that. And if, you know, you can consider getting a lower plan, consider spending that money on something else that's probably more beneficial. So think about what you're spending on, I think, is the kind of the thing I liked most.
One of the blogs you look at is called Wise Bread, and one of their writers argues that people get into trouble when they don't realize that they're essentially snobby, that they're not the sort of person to eat leftovers or buy used clothes or whatever it is. And you admit that you have discovered some of these snobby tendencies in yourself.
Yeah, one of the tips for saving money, if you is to use wilted or kind of wilted vegetables or food past the sell-by date. And when I first read that, I thought that was just too far. I mean, I think that most people, when you read these sites and you see some of these tips, you'll come across bits of advice that seem to go just beyond the pale, things you would never do, and you just kind of, they seem to go against what you consider yourself. You know, it's kind of a status or a class thing. Like you think that you're too good for that. And I admit that that's happened to me when I read this. But I think that's kind of also the benefit of these sites. You even if you're not kind of in these dire straits, you read these sites and you possibly end up feeling that it'll be okay. If lots of people are going to end up in bad situations in this recession, and if you have to do these things, it won't be that bad.
Farhad Manjoo, my guest on WNYC, Slate.com's technology columnist. He's been looking at blogs associated with a frugality movement. Are you in the frugality movement? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, or are you just frugal because you have to be? 212-433-9692. Anything that you're too snobby to do, or anything that you just wouldn't do? I mean, the wilted vegetables, I don't know. Would you buy wilted vegetables if you don't really, really have to save money? 212-433-9692. And some of these suggestions on the frugality blogs you did find a bit too desperate to try. For example, can you give us one?
Yeah, I mean, the wilted vegetables was one. I don't know if I would sort of consider. I guess I have purchased, you know, vintage clothes before, but as a matter of course, to visit Goodwill stores for clothes. I mean, I think that at the moment in my life, I don't need to do that. But I mean, I think one of the things, as I said, I think that these sites sort of focus the mind. I think it's interesting to see that other people have to do this or have to resort to these things. And it's not, I'm not sort of being naive. I'm mm-hmm. not surprised that people
right,
have to do
right,
this, but I think that there's a sense that you get reading these sites that lots of people are in the same boat. And I think that that's kind of helpful and supportive, you know, can be a source of support.
Let's see. I think Ray in Brooklyn has a frugality relationship issue. Is that right, Ray?
Yes, yeah, it's been a big change. I've recently been engaged to a woman from Missouri who has engaged in such practices as no heat for a year.
For a year?
For 1 year, just going without heat in the middle of the country for a year just to prove that she can do it. It's like any major purchase requires like months of thought just to see if in a few months you still need it, because, you know, something that you might buy on a whim, you probably won't need if you look around and live your life and you go back and like, well, maybe I really didn't need that bike. I'm not looking to ride a bike every day.
So you're engaged to this woman?
Yeah, it's been a big change because I came from an old relationship which was very New York, very eat out every night, very, you know, travel the world, spend. But now I have had my salary's gone down by 40% and my savings has gone up by about $15,000.
So you're ready to live this way for the rest of your life, Ray.
Super Save Lockdown is what we call it. We're on Super Save Lockdown, and we are kicking it, and we're loving it, because eating at home is fantastic. Getting to know someone is fantastic. Getting to know your neighborhood is fantastic. The city has so many free things to do in it, and the entire world has so many free things to do in it.
Okay.
You don't have to spend money to enjoy life. It's really strange.
Sounds like you've come around, and that marriage might actually work. Ray, good luck.
Thank you very much.
Saribe in Mendham, you're on WNYC. Did I say your name right?
Not at all. Oh. My name is Saribe.
Saribe. I'm sorry. Hi.
That's okay. All right, so in my mind, this is like a huge yoga class happening because for the first time ever, everybody has to be completely mindful about everything they're doing, what they're putting in their mouths, what they're doing with their gaze, how they're spending their gas money. And you have to have a purpose, you have to have intention, and you have to be mindful. So all this blatant, crazy energy of just burning through stuff isn't working right now. And I think it's a really beautiful place for us all to be.
We're becoming yoga nation, mindfulness nation. Christine in Brooklyn writes one of these frugality blogs. Yes, Christine?
Hi. How are you, Brian?
Good. How you doing?
I'm good. I love your show. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
I am actually recently unemployed, and one of the first things I did was start writing for myself and for a group blog called neighborbblog.com.
Uh-huh.
And I do the student life column and also living thriftily, so which is an important thing in my life since I don't have much money right now. So,
and you're blogging
and
about
it. I'm blogging about it, yeah. My blog is thenifthythrifty.blogspot.com. And also, I've been blogging about marketing and advertising and about how distressing the messages that we get from them are about being incomplete without one or another object.
Christine, thank you very much. Sounds really interesting. Ron in Brooklyn says, don't DIY, one of the things that Farhad said earlier. Real quick, Ron, we're going to run out of time. You got alarm bells? You got red flags going up there?
Definitely. With regard to doing brake repair work, it's very dangerous, starting with how to appropriately jack up the car. And then when you do this work, not only do you have to know how to take the parts, you know, out and put them back together correctly the right way, you might have a problem with air in the linings, in the brake lines. So this is something I wouldn't suggest for somebody who doesn't have a background.
Are you a professional mechanic?
No, I'm a do-it-yourselfer, and I have a friend and I, we do projects together for many years. And I'm just suggesting it's dangerous for somebody who doesn't really have a good background in this.
Yeah, I agree with you. There are many things that I might trust myself to learn to do on a car. Changing the brakes and hoping to live till my next birthday is not one of them. So, Farhad, a last word on the way out the door here. Go ahead.
Well, be safe. Don't change the brakes if you're not that way inclined.
By the way, this all takes a lesson from what tech people call life hacking and life hack gurus. Can you give us 15 seconds on that?
Oh, yeah. Life hacking is sort of all this movement that tries to give you tips to sort of live more efficiently and be happier about working and be more productive. And I think this the frugality movement kind of tries to adapt those small practical lessons from the life hacking movement to, you know, living more cheaply.
Farhad Manjoo wrote on Slate.com about the frugality movement. Interesting stuff. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.